We've probably all noticed that parents deal with their children quite a bit differently today, on average, than they did even 30 or 20 years ago. It's not uncommon when you're out in a restaurant or you're in a store and you hear some parents dealing with their children, you start to notice that it's no longer common to hear parents give commands. They don't tell children what to do anymore. It's not so much that you'll hear, be quiet or come over here. Sooner you hear something like, are you sure you want to do that? Or do you want to make mommy sad? There's some sort of subtle bribery or sort of blackmail that tries to get a child to make the so-called right decision. But there's less and less, it seems, actually giving commands. Do this or do that. Behind this new way of parenting that's come about in our day is this idea that a child's free will or a child's choice is never to be violated. We're told it's good and it's kind and it's loving. If you read the parenting magazines that you find laying around in offices or in different places, it's good to let a child make their own choices, we're told, as soon as possible. Let them choose what they want to wear, what they want to eat, when they want to go, and just give them the right information and they will make the choices that are best for themselves. And we need to realize that there's actually been a change in the way people think. Just over the last, you could say maybe 50 years or at the most, but there's actually behind this more than just laziness. There's a whole science, there's a whole so-called science, we should say, a whole worldview that pushes this exact idea, this agenda, that a child needs to make all their choices and choose their own way through life, and they don't need an authority over them, they just need information. There's a whole set of science or psychology, this idea that starts with evolution, and it starts with experts promoting these ideas, and they actually claim that you don't need authority. Authority hurts self-esteem. It hurts. It does violence to a child's will. They just need the right information to make the right choice, and then they'll evolve. That's what's behind all this. Supposedly, if you are able to make your own choices, follow your own choices, follow your own instincts, is really what it comes down to in this way of thinking, then you will do what's best for your own life. You don't need an authority telling you what to do. That's what's behind this. You could sum it up as, let the beast free. Let the animal instincts free, and the person will choose what's best for themselves. And that might sound sort of philosophical or about psychology, but we have to understand the simple truth behind this. Our society, our schools, our world is now promoting that the free choice of an individual is the greatest good. Choose your own sexuality. Choose your own clothing, it starts with as a little child. And then it's choose which bathroom you want to go in now. It's choose your own everything. Even choose your gender. And that's seen as the greatest good, because that's the child's instinct. And the worst thing you are now told that you could do to them is give them an authority, actually tell them what to do. Well, I hope you can see that this afternoon, that the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, is actually right at the middle of the big battle that's going on in our society with government and with the education system and the way that the world is going. This is the very real battleground, this fifth commandment between Satan and Christ's church. And it's really the same old story as the fall. It looks good. The fruit looks attractive. Do it your own way and you'll be like a god. You can have control over your own life. Don't listen to God. Don't listen to authority. That's what our society is preaching at us again and again. Choose your own way through life. Do what seems best to you. It's the fall all over again. And so it's so important that we see this battleground as parents, that we see that you have been given parents, and this is mostly going to be aimed at you. You have been given a God-given authority over your children. though it takes wisdom and there is a time for children to make their own decisions and we give them that responsibility in stages as they get older, yet we must understand that ultimately there needs to be this honor of parents, which leads to an honor of God. We're going to look at this under the theme, honor your parents. We're going to see first what that meant for Israel's children in the Old Testament. Then we're going to see for covenant children in the New Testament. And then we're going to see how they're really both the same thing. They teach a true fear of God. Well, first, this command, what it meant for Israel's children. Now, children, you might wonder, what does it mean to honor your parents? We hear maybe about the honor roll, which is maybe around still in some schools. It used to be, at least when you got a certain grade, that you would be on the honor roll. Somebody would have an honors degree. And that meant that they got an award, that they'd had really good grades. They're recognized for some achievement. But to honor parents, it's not really just to do well. It's not just to obey and to listen and to do your tasks so well that you're honorable. Actually, if you go back to this word, honor, in the original, it has the meaning of weight. And that might sound a little bit funny. It might even make us smile. Because if you take this commandment literally, it's actually saying, make your parents heavy. That's what it means. Make your parents weighty. Make them heavy. Make them impressive. Larger, greater, more honorable. Make much of your parents. That's probably the most basic translation you could give. Make much of your parents. Make your parents very, very, very important in your life. Give them the greatest weight. Honor them. And by the way, they took this commandment in the Bible. There's indications of that in the Lord Jesus preaching to the Pharisees and how they took care of their parents. It wasn't just a commandment for childhood. It goes all the way through life. It goes all the way to the end of life, taking care of aged parents, elderly parents. We are always, in every stage of life, to make much of our parents. Not just as a child, but also as an adult. And that idea of giving a lot of weight to our parents, that might sound strange, but that's really what to honor means, or meant, to the Old Testament Hebrew child reading this. Make much of your parents. Make them weighty. Make them important in your life. Don't treat them like a little brother. Don't treat them like a friend or a pet. They're not just a guide that walks beside you through your life. A parent is to be made bigger than you are. Listening to your parents is the biggest thing that a child does in their life. God says to a child, the most important thing that you do in your life is listen to your dad and to your mom. If you really honor them, that means listening to everything they say. And actually, it's important for children to hear this. When it says honor your father and your mother, that means listening to your parents the first time. Not the fourth time or the third time they remember things, or they tell you to do things over and over and over. God says, honor your father and your mother. Make them the most important thing in your life. I remember an example of this that really struck us when I was in school in Michigan. There was an African family. They had a birthday party for, I believe, their girl was somewhere around 10 years old. And the most important central part of the birthday party was that this little girl went to get a piece of cake from the cake, and it was a ceremony, and she came, and she brought it to her parents on her knees. It wasn't blowing out the candles on the cake. It wasn't this child-centered ceremony. It was to bring it to, I believe it was to her mother on her knees, and to thank her mother for taking care of her for the last 9 years or whatever it was. And that's really sort of a picture. It really struck us in that traditional culture. That's how they saw it. Honor your parents. This comes first. This is the center. Your parents have brought you to this point. Make your parents the most important thing in your life. Parents need to understand that this is the way the relationship with your children needs to be in your family. They should be honoring you. Yes, there's a way that can be twisted and it can go too far, and there can be that authoritarianism that the apostle warns about. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. But yet, you should be honored by your children. You should be above them. in that sense. You should be an authority over them. You see, the danger is that there's this world that children grow up in. And there's this battle that's going on. We see it in our world. We see it in the schools. The world wants to capture our children, to get them on their own side. And they're saying, if you join our army, you get whatever you want. You get to be the boss. You get a good life. It's easy to be on the world side. The reality is, we know sin and Satan are hard masters. Joining that side means rebellion and death. And so children must learn to honor their parents now in the practical things of life, so they learn they'll be in a pattern of ultimately honoring God. In one sense, I don't want to take this illustration too far, but if you look at where this commandment came in Israel's history, and you look at the promise that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, what it's saying is that the way a child lives in their family and the way they're trained is sort of like a boot camp or a training camp for a long march. Think of Israelite children. They're going across that desert and they're told to honor their fathers and their mothers, so down the road they'll live long in the promised land. Now, we don't want our children to be abused or belittled with a sort of boot camp mentality. But when an army wants to prepare its men for war, they've learned that the only way to succeed is if they learn the authority structure. That's why in the army they at least used to make men polish their boots and make their bents perfectly and do all these things. And the ultimate aim of that was so they would know who's in charge. Began with these little small things. And by learning to do all these things right, even the small things, shining the boots and making the bed, they would learn that they were men under authority. Because on the battlefield of life, for the Israelite children, that would mean being prepared to fight the Canaanites. If they hadn't learned to honor God through honoring their parents, they wouldn't be blessed in that promised land. They wouldn't be prepared. They wouldn't be ready to fight those battles. Now, we shouldn't think that that promise, you'll live long, we shouldn't think of that as a one-to-one promise. As if every obedient child would automatically live 100 years in the promised land. Rather, when you read these Ten Commandments, you have to think of these people. There they are at Mount Sinai. They're going to go on this difficult journey. And literally, as they walked, they were going to follow these commandments. There, this ark would go in front of them, the Ark of the Covenant. The copy of the commandments would be in it. And they would travel on this long journey, and they'd be prepared to live in the promised land and to fight their battles there and to later live there. And if the children honored their parents, if they learned that first, that training ground, you could say that boot camp, right at the center of that is this hope and this promise that it's a proving ground for the rest of life. And in a sense, children, your life is like that kind of pilgrimage. You're under your mom and your dad's care. They watch over you. They take care of you. They're preparing you to obey so that when you're on your own and you finish your childhood, then you will obey and you will honor God and His commandments and His laws. And so honoring parents is right at the center of the hope for future blessing. There's a promise for obedience. There's a hope that you'll be prepared to honor and to worship God, that you'll be part in that time of this covenant community, of this nation that would be blessed in the promised land. And so for the children, what you have to understand is how you listen to your mom and dad today, how you follow your parents, and how you make them important in your life will affect your whole adult life. If children don't learn how to obey their parents, they won't learn how to obey authorities on this world. They won't learn how to obey God ultimately in life, and they'll end up in slavery. We've been looking in the Old Testament sermons in the morning at that big picture of sin and slavery and then being freed from that. We see if a child rebels against their parents, they don't learn to honor them, it means they end up slipping back to being slaves, back into sins. And if they do what their parents tell them, that actually it feels like they have an authority over them, and it feels maybe to the children like they're being slaves or they're being servants, but it actually leads to freedom. That's what our world ignores. That's what our world doesn't know, that to obey God's law and to use God's law, we're not under it because we're in Jesus Christ, but when we're able to use it by the power of the Holy Spirit, it actually leads to freedom. Freedom from the power of sin. You can see this obviously in our world. Children who grow up in families where they've been taught authority, whether Christian or not, you just look at this world more broadly. You see children that learn to respect and obey their parents, and you will see they are more free. They're more financially free. They're more free from, say, drugs and alcohol. They are more free having been under that authority than their counterparts, who those other children who could just do whatever they wanted. And that's the basic picture of the promise here. Now, that's not just taught to Old Testament children. It wasn't just those children that were walking across that desert, following their parents across that desert to the promised land. It's also still taught to children today. And we read about that in Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll look at that a little deeper now. This command for Christian covenant children. See, there's a world we live in. It says personal choice is the best. Choosing for yourself. And many churches are actually leaning that way more and more. They teach free will first. Personal choice first, in the church and in the family, even unbiblical views of the place of children. We have to understand that as a Christian child, Ephesians chapter 6 makes it very clear that as a child in a Christian family, you are very different. The Ten Commandments were a covenant. They were an agreement. God says in the introduction to the Ten Commandments, I saved you from Egypt. I am the Lord. This is our covenant. This is our deal. These are the terms, these 10 rules. And here is the thing. Christian children, those growing up in Christian homes, they grow up having a deal, having a covenant with God. They don't get to choose their own place. They're put by God into the church. They grow up in the church and they grow up under parents. Ephesians 6 is making very clear, Christian children grow up under their parents in a very special place. Notice how clear it is. Obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Those children are assumed to be already obeying or commanded to be obeying their parents in the Lord. And we recognize that Christian children are different. We recognize that by baptizing them in this church. That they're citizens, as it were, of a different country. They're set apart from the world. When you're born in Canada, that means you're a Canadian. You don't have a choice. You're a citizen. You have to obey the laws. Perhaps one day you'll grow up and choose to move away from Canada. But you are Canadian. You can't change that on your own. As a child, you were born into that citizenship, and it bothers people to think that way about the church, but this is the reality. If you are born into the church of Jesus Christ as a child, you are different. You are a citizen of a different country, we could say. Now, people, that bothers them, especially in a lot of parts of broader evangelical churches, because they want a child to keep its free will, they would say. They want the child to really be able to choose for themselves. And so they leave the child out of the church, really, for the first years of its life. And they say when he's old enough, he can choose for himself. But that's not what the Bible says here. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. Children that are born into Christian households, they're separate from the rest of the world. Actually, Ephesians 1 verse 1 says this book is written to the saints at Ephesus. That means that these children that Paul addresses here, they're included in that basket, you could say, of the saints. These are people set apart from the world. These are holy ones. Similar to how Israel was set apart from Egypt. And so the main point that you need to see is that children in a Christian home grow up different than the rest of the world. They're part of the church. And notice that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, he addresses the children. He doesn't just say, obey your parents, he says, obey them in the Lord. That means it's assuming they're relating to God. He's addressing them as among the saints. So they're different children. You are different children if you grow up with Christian parents. You're called, you're obligated to honor your father and your mother, and there's all kinds of responsibilities that come with being what we would call a covenant child, and there's all kinds of blessings that come with that. Notice, this commandment is called the first commandment with promise. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's referring back to the promise, it shall go well with you and you'll live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And the Apostle Paul is saying that a child in a Christian family in the New Testament is still a child of the promise. New Testament Christian families, your children, they're still in that same position, being set apart from the world with great promises and great responsibilities. There's great blessings, there's great hope ahead for a Christian child who is obedient. And you know, these verses, they really teach exactly the opposite. A lot of churches in our day and a lot of the teachings out there, it sort of assumes that a child needs to sow their wild oats, sort of live in some sin and wander around and get into some trouble and then have a conversion experience and come back. That's not what the Apostle Paul is teaching here at all. What he's saying is that there's a great promise for obedient children. Obedient children, through their life, grow closer and closer and know more and more about the Lord their God. You see, if a child grows up sort of on neutral ground, some people think, or even grows up in the world, even if they're in a Christian family, and how they live and if they disobey, if that's taught that doesn't really affect them, that's the opposite of what Paul is teaching. Paul is teaching there's a promise for obedience. There's a hope. There's a growing closer and closer to the Lord. So the most important thing we can remember from this section is Christian child grows up as different as an Israelite child was from Egypt. There was Egypt and there was Israel leaving Egypt. And if you are a Christian child, you sit here with Christian parents, you don't grow up in Egypt. You grow up on your way out, following your parents out, listening to them, obeying them, and then there's this great hope that you'll be led to Jesus Christ himself. And that teaches you a true fear of God. That's the whole point. That was the point for the children of Israel, and that's the point for children today, to teach you a true fear of God. We'll look at that thirdly. We've probably all heard Ten Commandments are divided in two sections. A lot of people will talk about that. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Matthew 22, verse 37, the Lord Jesus, he sums up the law that way. And most people, when you talk to them, will say, the first four are about loving God, up to the Sabbath we looked at last week, and the last six about loving your neighbor. And there is a truth to that division. This is, this commandment, first about loving your neighbor. It's about loving other people, but it's not quite that clear. The fourth commandment, the Sabbath, it already includes loving our neighbor. It's not just about loving God, because it talks about how we should treat our servants, our employees, how we should also give them a break. And so you see, if we properly observe a Sabbath, as we looked at last week, we will give others a break as well. And then you come to this fifth commandment, and it's not just about loving your neighbor. It's also about loving God. It's about setting down practical authority structures in order so that children will ultimately honor God. And so when you see the Ten Commandments and the order they're put in, you can see that they sort of overlap. And this really teaches a child who God is. A good father will teach a child who God the Father is, just also by how he relates to them. We've all heard that when a child doesn't have a father or doesn't have a very good father, they're far more likely to get into conflicts with police and into trouble with the law. They never had relationships with a father that taught them respect, that taught them authority. And so honoring their parents, having an authority structure in the home, it prepares a child to relate to government. But even more than that, it prepares them for how they'll relate, how they'll know God. And so you see, the way that your home operates, especially fathers, the way that you run your home and the way that you take authority over your children and don't just give them ideas, but do the very hard work of leading and guiding them and being an honorable father, it will teach your children who God is. If a father is loose and easygoing and permissive, his family will have the same attitude. You see that in families, the way they relate to the church, to elders, to ultimately God. Now, it's interesting that when you look at these commandments and the divide between which ones are about honoring God and which ones are about honoring your neighbors, actually, many of the Jews, they didn't divide by 4 and 6. It's interesting. They divided right in the middle, more by 5 and 5. They saw this commandment and learning to walk that pilgrimage to Israel and being in that land, they saw that ultimately about learning how to honor God and to worship God in the promised land. Because if a child learned to follow their parents on the pilgrimage, then that would be a child that made all those pilgrimages back to the hill of ascents and back to the temple and learned to worship God. They didn't separate the same way we do. And we don't need to argue about which way to separate the commandments, but it's important to see honoring parents leads to honoring and knowing who God is. Romans 1 really confirms this. In Romans 1, you have the picture of a society that you could say God's let go of the leash. Romans 1 is an outline in the later verses of what happens when God lets a society go. And there's a connection there to idolatry. First, people start worshiping false gods. But then in verse 28, one of the many sins that's listed is disobedience to parents. We must understand that these commandments, they're related. When somebody falls into idolatry, down the road, what happens is a breakdown of respect, a breakdown of authority, a breakdown of the family. And so we need to understand. Please just think of this picture. You're like that pilgrim walking away from Egypt, and how your children follow you as you train them on that pilgrimage will teach them how they will worship and how they will honor God. To lose, to deny this commandment, it really leads to maybe not atheism in every case, but meism, really. Me as God, my choices are the sure road to blessing. And we need to understand that this begins so small. I'd encourage you, parents, be careful about what choices you let your children make. It's thought in our day to let a little 2 or 3-year-old choose all their own clothes and choose their own food, how somehow that's a good thing. It's not. It sets the tone for the family to fall apart all the way through life. It's a godless view, really. Children need to be led. They need to be brought up under authority, and it's a foundation that will point them ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's ultimately where all of this leads. You see, when you think of honoring your father and their mother, especially honoring your father, that should ultimately make us think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again in the Gospels, we read things like Luke 2, verse 52. The Lord Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. And then Mark 1:11, when he was a young man, the Lord God said, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then as his ministry progressed, John 8, verse 29, "The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." You can go through the Gospels and you can see that the Lord Jesus Christ is this Son who does honor his Father from beginning of his life to the end. There's no temptation that could get him off the path in terms of honoring his Father. He always honored his Father. And so when you think of the fulfillment of this commandment, we need to point our children to that Son, to that child ultimately, who kept this commandment. You see, The idea of learning to honor a father and mother, it's not ultimately that a covenant child, a child in a Christian family, earns a place in God's kingdom. We know that that's not possible. The children of Israel, they couldn't keep this. They failed again and again and again. They couldn't honor God. In fact, our children, they can't honor us, can they? If we all know our children, those of us who have a few children, they can't honor us. They can't keep this commandment. They're not capable. And the fact that God gives the commandments and that he assigns them to us, and even in the New Testament, it doesn't assume that we'll be able to perfectly obey them. In fact, the opposite is true. We give the children this commandment, even from Ephesians 6, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we understand they can't ultimately do it. We show them they must. We show them that it would be the way to life. But then we show them again and again they can't do it. And so we point them to that Son, Jesus Christ, for the full and free forgiveness that's in him, the Son of God, who always pleased his Father. And as they grow, they'll see more and more there would be an earthly reward in obedience. There is a reward in obedience, but in the end, I can't do it. No child can. And they examine their heart, and they're corrected again and again, and they confess their sin, and they come more and more to know that perfect Son, Jesus Christ, realizing that they are a failure, that they would end up back in slavery if left to themselves. There's no other way but Christ to be their hope. And so, let's remember this commandment. Let's not lose sight that this is really the battleground of our day. And let's be faithful in teaching our children and even holding them to account that they must honor their father and mother, and so they would be prepared to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to honor God forever. Amen. Let us pray.